Marty Walsh may be going to Washington, but Bill Belichick isn't. The New England Patriots coach has decided not to accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Trump on Thursday. And that is just one of many recent decisions by Boston sports teams and their members that have really serious reverberations inside the sports world, but also outside of it. So here to help us check the score is Radio Boston's Chris Sidorek. Hey there, Chris.
And I'm breathing again. Oh, so relieved. That was a very tense 24 hours, let me tell you, TD.
So I think I have a sense of how you were feeling about it. Before we dive in, Chris, I just want to get listeners into this conversation. Listeners, call us. We also want to know, are you breathing a sigh of relief today? What do you make of Coach Belichick's decision not to accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom? Also, so much other news in Boston sports teams right now. You've got the Celtics and COVID. You've got the Bruins and their captain. Call us, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right, Chris, take us into that news. Obviously, you are pleased with the decision.
Yeah, it was a really interesting 24 hours in the Boston sports scene. Basically, on Sunday, Politico reported that this Thursday, Patriots coach Bill Belichick would be accepting the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Trump. And then there was kind of a 24-hour period of, will he actually go? Will he decline? And then last night, Bill Belichick put out a statement that said he wouldn't be going. So I just want to read a little bit of that, and then we'll get into everything behind that. Quote, "Recently, I was offered the opportunity to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which I was flattered by out of respect for what the honor represents and admiration for prior recipients. Subsequently, the tragic events of last week occurred, and the decision has been made not to move forward with the award. Above all, I am an American citizen with great reverence for our nation's values, freedom, and democracy," end quote. So he's obviously talking about the insurrection that occurred last Wednesday. The agreement had been made prior to that, and then those events unfolded. And then the White House confirmed the reports that he would be attending to accept the award. So it's a really interesting decision for a guy in Coach Belichick that doesn't like to bring off-field stuff, or doesn't like to talk about off-field stuff ever, to have to kind of put himself in the middle of a story like that. Interesting time for the Patriots, for sure.
So, Chris, one more time where we see this intersection, this collision between sports, society, politics. I know there were a couple of golfers who actually did, the day after the insurrection, did receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom from the president. So any precedent for Belichick's decision this week?
Well, it is really interesting, and you hit the nail on the head there, Tiziana. This has really become so much more political in recent years. Just look at through the Trump administration. The Patriots went to the White House in early 2017 after their Super Bowl win. There were some players who skipped, but for the most part, the team was there. And then 2 years later in 2019, the team skipped the visit altogether and cited scheduling conflicts. But really, it was due to public pushback and kind of criticism of the idea of going to the White House for the visit. You've seen a number of teams across sports skipping White House visits. And I'd say it's definitely become much more common with this current administration. And I do want to highlight one interesting historical note. There is actually a Boston connection to turning down a Medal of Freedom. I don't know if you remember Mo Berg. We talked about him on the show a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. He was a catcher in Major League Baseball, played for the Red Sox for part of his career, and is believed to have been a spy. He never actually confirmed that during World War II. Doing kind of reconnaissance on trips to Japan. And so he declined the Medal of Freedom in 1946, never gave an official reason as to why he was declining that. Biographers have theorized that basically he didn't want to accept it if he couldn't explain to the public why he was getting it. But his sister Ethel ended up accepting it after he died and donated it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. So just an interesting historical note there. That's not the first time a Boston sports figure has had to deal with this sort of decision.
All right, let's go to one of our calls, 800-423-8255, to reflect on Belichick, the Patriots, the Celtics right now, the Bruins. Join the conversation. Right now we've got TJ on the line from Arlington. TJ, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to make the point, are we giving Belichick too much credit? It reminds me a lot of, Lindsey Graham and some of the people that are jumping off the Trump train at the 11th hour and 58th minute. Because they've stuck through kind of racism, sexism, and all these other things, and are only really getting off at the last moment. Thank you.
All right. So, Chris, respond to TJ there. You and I have talked about this off air. Share your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. And Bill Belichick has a connection with Donald Trump. If you remember back to the 2016 campaign, at the night before the election, Trump was in Manchester and read a letter that Bill Belichick had written him in support, and kind of was touting his support in New England, hoping to gin up some extra votes kind of the day before the election. So much so that Belichick actually had to talk about it the next day. As I said, never likes to talk about the off-field stuff, but he did address the letter that he wrote Trump, and here's a little bit of what he had to say there.
Our friendship goes back many years, and I think anybody that's spent more than 5 minutes with me knows I'm not a political person. My comments are not politically motivated. I have a friendship and a loyalty to Donald. A couple weeks ago, we had Secretary of State Kerry in our locker room. It's another friend of mine. Can't imagine two people with more different political views than those two.
So, and that really kind of fits with Belichick's brand, that it's all football all the time. And to TJ's point, I think there was a legitimate concern here if he goes and accepts this award at a time when the president is potentially facing a second impeachment a week after an armed insurrection in the nation's capital. The entire sports world has been having this reckoning in terms of social justice, and Belichick ended the season by praising the work his players have done in the community on that front. And it really would have undermined that message. And I think probably cost him a lot of credibility in the locker room with his players. So I don't know that he really had a choice here. I don't know what he would have done if you take away all those factors. So that is kind of interesting to speculate about. But I think ultimately there was just so much public attention to this. It just would have been a real surprise, actually, for Belichick to go through with this. And it could have potentially been a distraction for the team down the road.
All right. We're going to take one more call on this subject. We've got Chris on the line from Duxbury. Chris, go ahead.
Hi. I guess what I was most curious about was the timing and the circumstances. So was it a situation where the president didn't actually reconfirm with him after the events of last weekend? Because he put himself in a very embarrassing position for all of this.
I understand.
Yeah, that's
it's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. And we don't really know the answer right now. We know that Belichick had originally agreed before last Wednesday to go and accept this award. We don't know if the White House checked in with him or not. If, as I said, Politico reported it on Sunday. So you have to believe that the White House was already kind of in the motion of moving this plan forward for this week before that. We just simply don't know the timeline of whether they reached out to Belichick, if his opinion on it changed, if he kind of changed his mind about whether or not to accept it. Maybe we'll find out more as we go, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
All right. So we have been talking about an event that relates to Bill Belichick, but is not Bill Belichick. And that is not the only one. I know that was a little ham-handed, but it does strike me. There's this other thing we're all watching, and Bill Belichick standing on the outside of that, and that is that the Pats aren't in the playoffs. And Tom Brady is. For our listeners who are not, I think you might have had to have been under a rock not to realize how important Tom Brady is to the fandom in Boston. But this is weird.
It's the first time in 11 years, Tiziana, that the Patriots haven't either been playing the first weekend of the playoffs or waiting to play someone the following week. You have to go back to the Matt Cassel year when Brady went down early in the season in 2008. And it is odd as a fan of the team, admittedly. I kind of have enjoyed it. I mean, I would obviously rather have the team in the playoffs, but it has been interesting to watch the playoffs as an objective observer for a year. And Brady is still doing Brady things. He actually looked really locked in their game. Tampa Bay has some flaws, so I don't know if Brady's headed for another ring or not, but I would say based on the way he played this year, I would expect him to be back next year. And I don't know how many years he's going to play, but I don't think it'll ever feel normal to see him playing in a different uniform.
Yeah, it probably won't. All right, there's more we could talk to on football, but let's move to basketball because a lot with the Celtics this week too.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Celtics, this story has been kind of moving as we go. Today they've had their second and third consecutive games postponed due to COVID. So they were supposed to play tonight against the Bulls. They're supposed to play tomorrow against the Orlando Magic. Both of those games have been postponed. We don't know when they'll make those up. Basically, for NBA teams to play, they have to have 8 players available to play. They've got 15 active guys on the roster for every game. So that just shows you the kind of toll that COVID is taking on this. Their game Sunday that was postponed was actually postponed because Miami couldn't field enough players. So it's not as if it's just a Boston problem. They're supposed to play the Orlando Magic on Friday. We'll see what happens with that. We aren't getting a ton of updates in terms of, some of these guys are testing positive. Some are just being isolated because of contact tracing. And we aren't really hearing whether or not the contact tracing players are getting any negative test results back. So we just kind of have to wait and see. But, man, this NBA season could be in real trouble. We're only a couple of weeks in.
Yeah. So just for listeners who may not remember, last year the NBA was in a bubble. So they were really sheltered and isolated. They are not doing that this year. And what you just laid out, Chris, looks like the shape of things to come.
Yeah, and they're having kind of emergency meetings this week. I just want to add real quick that they may bring extra restrictions into play in terms of what guys do off the court in their private lives. They might have to really kind of tighten up in order to try to get through the season as they go here.
Interesting. So, our theme today are these decisions by Boston sports teams that have consequences. Talk about the Bruins.
Oh, what a ride. So this one's a roller coaster. If you flash back a year ago, the Bruins were the best team in hockey last February, and then the shutdown happens. They do the restart a few months later. They never quite look like the same team. They never kind of hit their rhythm, and they get bounced by Tampa Bay, the eventual champions. They've had a couple of huge losses so far the offseason. Torrey Krug, probably the most significant player production-wise. But I got to tell you, I hate to see a guy who's a real character guy like Zdeno Chara leave. So he had been with the Bruins for 14 seasons. He was the captain and really was the leader in every way. He played through a broken jaw at one point.
Jeez.
Wired shut, basically had to eat food through a straw, but was still on the ice trying to do what he could for this team. He's 43 years old, so he's not the player he used to be, but he wanted to come back, and he definitely can still contribute in a meaningful way. The team decided they want to go in another direction, and you could really feel it kind of as the team was getting bounced. I want to play a real quick clip here from Doc Emmerich, who calls hockey games for NBC, or did call, he's retired, but said in August, as the Bruins were bounced after a double overtime loss, and the camera was following Chara shaking hands with some of the Lightning players. Here's what Doc Emmerich said.
It is likely the last time we're going to see him in a Bruin uniform. I hope you don't mind I shift gears from hockey. The humanity that this guy has, over his span of time in Boston, he's reached out to oppressed groups. He's made donations of time and food and clothing, as a lot of guys do. But if he were coming to your home for dinner tomorrow night, he'd want to talk about you and your family and not himself.
So just speaks a little bit to the kind of guy that Chara was. All players loved him and respected him. Sad not to see him back. And he signed for under $1 million. So I have a ton of frustration with the team there. It seemed like they could have brought him back. But I do want to highlight one positive note before we go. The Bruins announced today they're going to retire Willie O'Ree's jersey to the rafters, number 22. Willie O'Ree is the player who broke the color barrier for the National Hockey League. And in addition for the Bruins retiring his number, actually NHL players across the league are going to wear helmet decals that depict O'Ree with his kind of trademark fedora. From January 18th, which is obviously Martin Luther King Day, it's also the 63rd anniversary of Willie O'Ree's first game with the Bruins. They're going to wear those decals through the end of February. Nice. And I just want to highlight a moment. We actually had Willie O'Ree in the Radio Boston studio with Meghna Chakrabarty back in 2016. Talking about the documentary Soul on Ice, which features stories of black hockey players throughout history and the future of black hockey players. And here's a little bit of how he described his experience playing in the NHL.
Playing here in Boston was great, but playing in other cities, I had racial slurs and racial remarks, directed towards me because of my color. But
from whom? From the fans?
Players and fans, yes. But it didn't affect me, and I didn't let it affect me. I just says that I'm good enough to be here, and if they can't accept me for my play, then just put it aside. But it was tough at the beginning, but later on it got a little easier.
And one final note, which I just think is great. He actually said he didn't even realize he had broken the color barrier for hockey until he read it in the paper the next day.
Wow. Well, I do want to note that the Boston Red Sox also made news this month, hiring Bianca Smith, who will be the first black woman to coach in professional baseball. So Lots of momentous decisions by Boston sports teams. Thanks for checking the score with us, Chris Siderek. I know we'll have you back again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris.